Thank you all for standing by. Welcome to today's conference call. At this time, all lines are on listen only for today's conference until the question and answer portion of our call, at which time you will be prompted to press star one on your touch-tone phone. Please be sure to unmute your lines and record your name and affiliation to ask a question so that you may be introduced. Our conference is also being recorded, and if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the conference over to our host, Ms. Jenny Lyons. Ma'am, you may proceed.
Thank you, Jill, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jenny Lyons, and I'm with Public Affairs here at NOAA Fisheries. Today, NOAA Fisheries is requesting public feedback on proposed authorizations that filed in the Federal Register this morning. Those authorizations relate to incidental effects to marine mammals from seismic surveys to explore for oil and gas in the Atlantic. To explain more about this, I have the privilege today of introducing the Director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources, Donna Weeding. Donna is going to provide a brief summary of our news, and then we're going to open for questions. I also have two other experts from our Office of Protected Resources with us to answer questions. Jolie Harrison is the Chief of the Permits and Conservation Division, and Benjamin Laws is one of our expert biologists here at NOAA Fisheries. If you got our media advisory this morning, you have the correct spelling of their names and titles, and if not, you can find that media advisory on NOAA.gov or contact our public affairs team right after the call. I'm going to provide contact information for our team at the end of this call. As a reminder, this call is for working media only. If you're not a member of the press, you're welcome to continue to listen in, but please don't ask questions. This time really is reserved for reporters. With that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Donna Weeding. Donna, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jenny, and thank you, good afternoon, everyone, for joining the call. As Jenny mentioned, I'm the director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources, and our office supports one of NOAA's key stewardship missions to conserve and protect marine mammals, such as whales and dolphins. So today, we're proposing to authorize incidental harassment of marine mammals for companies applying to conduct seismic surveys in the Atlantic Ocean. And we've got that public comment period open for 30 days, and so accepting public comment on those proposed authorizations. As part of the proposed authorizations, we include information on the applications, and those include five separate requests from companies proposing to conduct geophysical surveys using seismic air guns in the mid and South Atlantic. We also include a proposed suite of monitoring, reporting, and mitigation measures to minimize negative effects to marine mammals during these survey operations and to meet the standards of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. These measures include acoustic monitoring to detect marine mammal sounds beneath the surface, so we know when they are in the area. The measures also require shutdowns when observers spot certain sensitive species in the area. And there are also other proposed reporting and mitigation measures that are included in the proposed authorizations. And so with that, I will go ahead and see if you all have any questions that you'd like to ask us and see if we can respond to your questions.
Thank you, Donna. At this time, Jill, can you please explain the process for asking a question?
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 at this time. Please be sure to record your name and affiliation when prompted so that you may be introduced. Once again, it is star 1 at this time. Please stand by for questions.
Okay.
Our first question is from Bill Holland with S&P Global Market Intelligence. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Ms. Weeding, could you do me a favor? You sort of broke up when you were listing the mitigation measures in general. Could you go through, there were three or four of them. Could you list them again for me, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It includes, and I'll just talk generally, protected species observers, aboard the vessels to listen and watch for marine mammals and other protected species that come within a certain distance, and then to apply shutdown in certain circumstances of turning down or turning off the air guns. There's a suite of time area restrictions designed to eliminate or reduce impacts to sensitive species in certain habitat areas. It includes passive acoustic monitoring to ensure that we can hear marine mammals that may not be at the surface but below the surface, so we can understand and know whether they're there. And includes, as I mentioned, shutdowns, and then also ramp up. So if the air guns would be ramped up in a way that can after they've been shut down. So and there are also vessel strike avoidance procedures as well. So that's generally that's the general list of mitigation.
Our next question comes from Matthew at the Associated Press. Matthew, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Matthew Daly at the AP. Thanks for having the call. Just wanted to get your reaction, I guess, to some of the, you know, the groups are already complaining about this and saying that this could severely, you know, harm and even kill marine mammals, including whales and sea turtles, and just what your response is to that.
Well, we look forward to public comment. That's the, you know, the public comment period is open. If folks have scientific information or other information that would be pertinent for us, that's what we're looking for during the public comment period.
Hi, this is Joey Harrison. I do want to add, though, that I hear the concerns, and we have heard those before. However, we do believe that we have no reason to anticipate certainly mortality from this, and we believe that the mitigation measures that we've put in place, for example, the shutdown measures that Donna is speaking to, allow us to really, you know, reduce or alleviate the likelihood of any sort of injury, such as, you know, permanent hearing damage. And then also we've put in, as Donna mentioned, this range of time area limitations that we really believe will minimize the potential behavioral responses of these marine mammals to these activities. I mean, as we've stated before, certainly we do have concerns about how these activities may impact marine mammals, but we also believe that we've put measures in place that will allow them to allow us to offset them. But as Donna says, we do invite more input on that.
Our next question comes from Alan at Bloomberg. Alan, we are opening your mic right now. Go ahead, you're open.
Hi, this is Alan Kovsky at Bloomberg. Curious about, partly because of what we've been hearing from environmental groups, any restrictions on conditions because of night or fog when it might be more difficult to detect marine mammals?
This has Ben Laws with the Office of Protected Resources. As Ms. Weeding specified earlier, we do require the use of passive acoustic monitoring systems, which, again, are underwater listening systems. So, as you know, marine mammals are, you know, sometimes difficult to visually observe, in any case, even in daylight. They do vocalize, and so even in conditions of low visibility, these systems would help to detect the presence of those animals. But, yes, these survey operations are 24-hour operations.
Our next question comes from Tatiana at the New York Times. Tatiana, your line is being opened right now, and you're up. Thank you.
Thanks so much. I'm just wondering, I believe that these areas, that permits have already been rejected for seismic drilling in these areas, so I'm wondering what has changed that they're now being reopened, and also how this squares with the ocean noise strategy roadmap that I believe was released last year.
So this is Donna Weeding. So I think you're referring to the previous effort by BOEM to not have the leasing go forward, and since that's been reopened, so we have not rejected or proposed these in the past.
Right. So BOEM had denied the geophysical and geological permits previously, and then, as folks are probably aware, they reversed those decisions a few weeks ago. So obviously, they can speak to speak to that. Regarding the ocean noise strategy, this is Jolie Harrison speaking. I'll just say that, you know, our roadmap and plan there puts forward a lot of broad strategies and approaches for generally looking to better manage across the agency and you know, reduce impacts on marine life from ocean noise. So we have a lot of broad strategies that we apply, and they include things such as time area restrictions and the sort of things that we've got in place here. So again, that strategy is meant broadly to bring the agency sort of into one direction in how we deal with ocean noise, and includes, you know, sort of ways that we will do things across regulatory, across science, across all kinds of pieces of what the agency does. And those, we do pay attention to that as we're, you know, working on these authorizations or potentially planning science and those sorts of things. So they are definitely related, but certainly this is a very specific regulatory action, and we obviously take them all with the strategy in mind, but, you know, the strategy doesn't mandate that any particular thing happens.
We're going to queue up Asbury Park Press, Dan, for our next question. But as we're doing that, Jill, can you explain again how to ask questions, please?
Absolutely. If you would like to ask a question on the phone line, please press star 1 and record your name and affiliation to be introduced to ask a question.
And, Dan, your line is open. Thank you.
All right, good. Thank you very much. How's everyone doing? When it comes to marine mammals and seismic testing, can you define what a take means? T-A-K-E, and is there going to be a percentage of takes allowed if someone is seismic testing?
So, hi, this is Jolie. So, under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, a take is to harass, hunt, capture, or kill, or attempt to harass, hunt, capture, or kill any marine mammal, and we further talk about harassment in terms of either level A harassment or level B harassment. Level A primarily meaning the potential for injury, and level B meaning the potential for disruption of behavioral patterns. And so broadly speaking, a take could include a mortality, which we certainly do not anticipate here at all. It could include an injury. And when we think about impacts from sound, we usually think about injury in terms of potential for hearing impairment, of which there is a small potential here, and we are recommending authorization of a small number of marine mammal takes by that method. And then the last one, and the one that probably the vast majority of the numbers of takes are, is in the form of behavioral harassment. So, for example, the animal may, you know, swim farther out of the way to distance itself from the sound source than usual. It may change its diving or feeding patterns, you know, temporarily while the source is in the vicinity, may change its vocalizations, those sorts of things. So those are the types of takings that there are. And then, again, the ones that we are primarily expecting to result from this sort of activity is those temporary behavioral disruptions that I mentioned.
Our next question comes from Nick Snow. Nick, your line is open.
I'm late joining the call, so I wanted to verify that the proposal has been made today and that there is a 30-day comment period opening.
That's correct.
And is a copy of the announcement going to be available at your website soon?
Yes, the announcement, a pre-publication version of the announcement filed with the Federal Register today. It is available at the Federal Register. A link to that announcement is available on our website, and it will publish in the Federal Register tomorrow.
Thank you. Just a reminder to press star 1. I only have a couple of questions in line right now, so if anybody has a question, feel free to press star 1 to get in line. Bill Holland. We are opening up your line right now to ask a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Then this may be more in your wheelhouse, Jolie, than Donna's. If we limit the number of acoustic events to just these 5 permits in both number of incidents and time, how does that compare with the number of acoustic events carried out by naval operations over the same time period? Is it a lot more, a lot less? I mean, there's a lot of active sonar work that goes on out there.
Sure. I think the difference is, so first of all, these guys are low frequency seismic air guns, so the sound propagates really far. They also are There are long exercises lasting, you know, multiple months. These seismic surveys are, however, as you point out, certainly there are military activities going on up and down the East Coast, pretty much probably, you know, very often, potentially every day. Now, sometimes they're much smaller scale exercises, so they may involve, you know, single sound sources that are of a much lower level or last a much shorter time. However, there also may be joint exercises that do include mid-frequency hull-mounted, you know, sonar, which you know, is a pretty loud source, and those exercises can go on for days. So I think your point is probably that there are certainly more sound sources in the water related to military exercises. And those, as you're well aware, the Navy has come into compliance under the MMPA and the Endangered Species Act with us through sort of years of coordination. They have a very extensive monitoring plan that you can go on the Navy Marine Species Awareness website and look at, where they do, you know, lots of different types of studies and monitoring to understand the impacts of their effects. They also have an extensive mitigation plan. So I certainly, you know, understand why you would ask about those. They are overlain in space and time. Hope that answers your question.
Our next question, again, comes from the Associated Press.
Hi, this is Matthew Daly again. I asked the environmental groups the same question, but I want to just get the sense from you guys, the timing on this. If this is approved, you would start the surveys in the fall, and how long would they go?
An incidental harassment authorization issued under the Marine Mammal Protection Act is valid for a maximum period of 1 year. With regard to the actual timing of any issued authorization, which, of course, we would have to, you know, review all the public comments and complete other relevant processes before we made any final decision. But actual issuance of any authorization would be done in coordination or conversation with the applicants themselves, as well as with the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, which you're probably aware has to permit the actual activity itself. So we can't really speculate in terms of the ultimate timing.
Our next question comes from Alan at Bloomberg again.
Yes, thank you. The industry will point to the Gulf of Mexico and say, you know, it's been a laboratory for decades with seismic research. Some environmental groups say, well, there hasn't been enough research. There's not enough monitoring of impacts. Could you address that to the extent to which you feel that there's good data from the history of seismic use in the Gulf of Mexico?
Sure. So this is Jolie. As I think you're probably aware, we are currently involved in an environmental compliance process in the Gulf of Mexico, working with BOEM on National Environmental Policy Act compliance and also towards Marine Mammal Protection Act and Endangered Species Act compliance. Folks have been gathering information. Industry companies have been gathering information during their cruises in the Gulf of Mexico for a long time with observers, and we have, you know, a lot of information showing the types of shutdowns and those sorts of things that we have. Now, in terms of the sorts of monitoring that, you know, may be required pursuant to their Marine Mammal Protection Act compliance, we still have to work that out, and we're figuring that out. But I would say we have a lot of information. We're looking towards what we're going to be gathering under the rule. I also would point to the fact that we've had incidental harassment authorizations issued in the Arctic for many years and collected a lot of information there as well. So we'll see where we go with the monitoring plans for the Atlantic.
Our next question comes from Jonathan at New Jersey Advanced Media. Jonathan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get back to a question asked earlier about the fact that BOEM in January had rejected these same permits and said there's no need for the information, and quote, there's no immediate need for the survey, and the information observed obtained by this testing, and quoting the report, does not outweigh the potential risks. So why are you now going ahead with such testing?
So I think that's the question best asked to BOEM. And Jonathan, if you want to get in touch with me or my team here at Public Affairs afterwards, we're happy to get you in touch with the appropriate contact in their public affairs department after this call, and I will provide my email and phone number just shortly. Our next question comes from Bill Holland again, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, this is kind of a follow-up to the AP's question. What exactly are we approving here? Since apparently it's not a policy change, and BOEM's got to approve any actual seismic testing, what exactly is NOAA approving or disapproving here, or collecting or not collecting?
So people, this is Jolie, folks submitted applications to NIMS for authorization to take marine mammals incidental to their geophysical and geological activities. And so what they're requesting from us is the authorization to, you know, harass, as I mentioned, marine mammals as they're doing this other activity. As Ben mentioned earlier, the underlying activity to actually do the work is allowed or disallowed by BOEM under permit.
I'm showing no questions in the queue right now, so if you do have a question, please press star 1 to get in line. Nick Snow, you are up, and we're opening your line right now. Go ahead.
Great. I wanted to follow up on Bill's question with one of my own. How long does it usually take to get an ITA from your service?
Right. So this is Jolie. It can take a large variety of times, depending on the complexity, the potential precedent setting this, the degree to which we may need additional information, and, you know, the degree to which additional information may become available during the process. So it can take a wide variety of times. We typically tell people on our website that the minimum time in a really ideal circumstance for a pretty simple IHA is about 6 months. We typically recommend 6 to 9 months, but on the other hand, we've had complex activities that have taken, you know, years to put in place. So it very much depends on a lot of things surrounding the circumstances of the particular operations in question.
So I'm again showing no questions in the queue. Star 1, if you'd like to ask a question, this is your chance. And I'll give it just a second here. And while we're just seeing if anybody has any other questions, is there anything else any of our experts would like to add to what we've said? I think we're pretty okay. I'm showing another question from Congressional Quarterly. Jackie, we are opening your mic. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I just wanted to ask, as far as I understand, there's an alternate approach being proposed for measuring the impact of the seismic testing on marine mammals that environmentalists have said they favor, namely the use of a 140 decibel threshold at 50% midpoint rather than the current 160 decibel. And I was wondering, was there a determination made to use the 160 decibel level? And if so, what's the reasoning behind it?
Sure. Hi, this is Jolie. Yeah, so we've used 160 decibels for impulse sources for some years now, and we've responded to public recommendations to potentially use different levels. And so those levels are based on some science that we had quite a few years ago, but which continues to sort of be upheld as a general rule. So, you know, there may be times when animals respond in a way a little bit lower level than that, and there may be times when animals don't respond a little bit higher than that, but we've used that as and considered it a well-supported generalized threshold for some years now. And again, have received comments to this effect from public commenters in the past, and we've responded to those in our Federal Register notices.
So showing no further questions, I just want to thank everybody for joining our call, and thank you experts so much for providing your expertise. And if you have any further questions, reporters, you can direct those to myself and my team here at NOAA Fisheries Public Affairs. Our team line is 301-427-8003. I can also be reached directly at 301-427-8013. My email is Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, dot Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, at NOAA, N-O-A-A, dot gov. Thank you again, and thank you, Jill, as well.
That does conclude today's conference call. We thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect, and have a great rest of your day.